Kingway, Fox, Beard, look is acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very harsh. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. He's a bad left, Edward is an idiot, Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's at, Q has had enough of that, beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We are about to series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series, well, good evening, trekkers around the globe. It is Thursday night. It is 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. It is Thursday, September 15th, 2022. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. If you'd like to join our conversation or just call and say hello, we'd love to hear from you and we'll get you right on the air. 646-668-2433 is the number. Just let your fingers do the walking and get on to Trek Talking. So we have a great show planned for you guys tonight, but before we go too far, I just want to let you know that we have 118,000 downloads of our podcast, which is really awesome. Thank you to each and every one of you guys, no matter where you're listening. We really appreciate it. And we have 113,000 followers on our Facebook page, which is really, really cool as well. So thank you so much, guys. You can over to our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. You have to spell that out, A-N-D, Beyond, and become a member of our ever-growing Star Trek family. But before we get too far in the podcast, I want to introduce to you my Trekspurts. We'll start off with Eric. He's out in Portland. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I am doing well, guys. I am happy to be here talking Trek. We finally have some very, very nice weather here again in Portland. We had some smoke from some surrounding fires for a few days, which was a little hard for people with strong allergies, which I know many people like that. But today's weather has been pretty nice. So I'm feeling good, man. Ready to talk about this show tonight.
And also hailing from Portland, we have Paul the Toy Guy. How you doing tonight, Paul?
Each man hides a secret pain. It must be exposed and reckoned with. It must be dragged from the darkness and forced into the light. Share your pain with me, Jim. Share your pain with me and gain strength from the sharing.
I need my pain.
Just a little homage for you, buddy, just because I know you need to get your hit of Lawrence Luckinbill every few days, so I'm just trying to make it more tangible.
They've got to make a sign-off. Here. I'm telling you, I gotta have you know, I'll mention that. I'll mention that.
Maybe don't lead with that. Maybe sneak that in there, but just don't lead.
People, how do you pick your figures? Oh, by the way, I'll just slip that right in there.
It occurred to me the other night when I was watching Wrath of Khan, right? Remember when Terrell and Chekhov go down to the, you know, SETI Alpha 5, right? Or whatever it may be in reality. And they're wearing the spacesuits?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one's ever made those spacesuits in figure four.
Really?
Ever. Really? No one's ever done that. And those suits are – and it's pretty similar to the suits Spock wore in the motion picture, right? Pretty similar?
Yeah.
We need those as figures. That's – part of my campaign is that's stuff that has never been produced would be amazing. People would gobble it up. Minor digression. Well, sorry.
There we go. We have some stuff to talk to the Playmates people about.
We do indeed.
We do indeed. And we also have with us Paul. Paul's out. Not Paul. Not Eric. We already talked to him. I'm
old.
We're talking to Charles. Charles is out in Las Vegas.
I'm doing good. We're getting some nice weather. It's dropping right now to low 90s. Might be mid-90s this weekend. But the nice thing is we're dropping to the 70s at night. Oh, the mornings are feeling good right now.
And you know what? That's about our temperature here right now. When we go up to camp this weekend, we're going to have a campfire because it gets a little cold at night. But I like it. That's good sleeping weather. Good dog walking weather, too.
So, guys, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Lower Decks, Mining the Mind's Mine, which was episode 3, last week's episode. So if you'd like to call us and share your insights or thoughts on that episode, please do. We would love to hear from you. But we also have a lot of Star Trek news to talk about. So there's going to be a new engineer on Strange New Worlds. But it's not who you think it might be. You'll have to hang out with us to find out who that might be. And we're going to see another classic TNG character showing up on Prodigy. And I'm not talking about Chakotay. We're not talking about Admiral Janeway. This is somebody else. So you'll have to hang out to find out who that might be as well. It could be Ensign Kim. He might be an admiral by now. We don't know. We also have, as usual, we have our fan shout-outs because we like to say thank you to you guys personally. We have a lot, and I mean a lot, of Star Trek birthdays, which is why I'm trying to rush through this because I want to make sure we get to everything. And we have, of course, our convention calendar, as always. So our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air. Eric, why don't you get us started off with our fan shout-outs?
You bet, Jim. Our very first fan shout-out this week goes out to top fan Jens Berenschier from Germany, Lower Saxony region. Kapla to you, and thank you for listening to Truck Talking right there in the middle of Europe. Love your support, and thanks for being a top fan. It means that you interact a lot with us on our Facebook page. We always appreciate that. We're also sending a shout-out to Ryan Rhino O'Hara from Dorset, England. So Rhino O'Hara, I love your nickname. That is super sweet. Thank you for listening to Trek Docking. We're also saying hello this week to Sammy Markkanen from Hirvihara, Finland. Gives us a little live long and prosper icon. Thank you, Sammy, for listening to us up there in Scandinavia as well. And my final fan shout out goes out to Michelle Winstone this week, who's listening to us all the way from Wales. Live long and prosper to you, Michelle. Charles, who would you like to say hello to?
Let's start off with Robin Kendall from Springfield, Illinois. Beverly D'Amique from Manitoba, Canada. Tommy Andre Lund from Norway. And Richard Coates from Auburn, Massachusetts. If you're missing somebody, let's keep on with Antoinette Allen Rippier from Northville, Michigan. Star Salinas from South Texas. Damian Steele from Elkhart, Indiana. And Rebecca Perdue from North Carolina. Paul, who's on your list?
Well, we've got all kinds of fabulous folks that interact with Star Trek and interact with us as well, which is really outstanding. First of all, a great kapla, and thanks for being part of our family to Patrick Schneider in Bremerhaven, Germany, all the way across the mighty Atlantic Ocean from us. So great to know that you're out there, Patrick. Thanks so much for being a fan. A shout-out also and kapla to Gloria God, Elmer Fudd is really with me today. I don't know what's going on. Gloria Guerrero. Sorry, Gloria Guerrero. It's Thursday. You missed, the old mechanics stopped working by the end of the week. Gloria comes to us from Buenos Aires, Argentina, an absolutely stunning part of the world. It's great to know that Star Trek enthusiasm is alive and well down in Argentina. Also, going even further on the other side of the planet, hello and thank you for being a fan to Kate Yiannakis in Wellington, New Zealand. Wellington, New Zealand is full of various fantasy and science fiction enthusiasts. And Kate is letting us know she is among them. So thank you, Kate, for being a fan and giving us a shout. And finally, for me, I got a nice big live long and prosper here from Doris Kieselhai in Hattingen, Germany, with a very proud waving German flag there and live long and prosper symbol. So, Doris, thank you so much for listening, and it's great to hear from you. Hope you're having a fantastic week. Jim, passing it to you.
Well, we're going to wrap things up with our fan shout-outs by saying kapla to Jennifer Gallagher Pomeroy, who's listening to us in Nashville, Tennessee. We also want to say live long and prosper to Rhonda Bates, who's listening to us in Arizona. We want to say thank you to Tish O'Keefe, who's in Bellingham, Washington. And last but definitely not least, we want to say to Jim Hillis from Belfast, Northern Ireland, who gives us a little live long and prosper. Thank you so much, guys. If you'd like to hear your name featured on a future fan shout out, all you have to do is go visit us on our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that all out. You'll see the Live Long and Prosper pinned to the top of the page. And just tell us where you're listening from. If you see a heart next to your name from yours truly, Uncle Jim, then you want to tune in to the next show because you are going to be featured on a fan shout out. So thank you so much to each and every one of you guys, and welcome to our Star Trek family. All right, guys, this is going to be a long part of the show because we have a lot of more than I actually ever thought we'd had. So before we dive right in, let's play our song.
That was not a Klingon song.
Okay, guys, this is our Star Trek birthday segment, and I really like this segment because we give shout-outs to all of the great Star Trek that we have, and we might mention an episode or a character that maybe you forgot about or maybe one that you haven't thought about in a long time, and mention the episode or the name jogs something in your mind, and you just, I'm going to watch that episode. So that's what we do this for. But first, we always start off by remembering those members of our Star Trek family who are no longer with us. And for that, we turn to Eric.
Yeah, Jim. This week we have several members of our Star Trek community who have gone before us, and we're going to start it out with a bang. Happy would have been birthday to someone who helped bring Star Trek back from the television cancellation and back into the forefront of pop culture. Director Robert Wise, director of Star Trek the Motion Picture, would have had a birthday this week, and that was a feat for which he would receive his sole Saturn Award nomination as best director. And, you know, Robert Wise, from what I understand, kind of a cool guy. He graduated high school back in 1929, tried to go to college for journalism, and then essentially got a job eventually through his brother at RKO Pictures, and that would help him get into kind of the movie business. And he directed a whole bunch of movies back in the 40s, Curse of the Cat People, The Body Snatcher, Born to Kill, things like that. And then eventually would go on to get the job for the motion picture. And, you know, there's a lot of drama surrounding the motion picture, which you should go and read about if you haven't before. But there was this one quote I just wanted to mention from Robert Wise. He said, when he got a hold of the script for the first time, he said, this is him later talking about it, the script still wasn't in any kind of shape, so we had to start rewriting and shooting all at the same time. It was a hell of a way to make a picture. So... he worked his way through all of that and gave us, I think, a picture that we all know and love quite a bit and has some pretty awesome 4K versions of now. And as I understand, one of our own has potentially met this person before.
That embarrassingly, that would be me.
So, do tell.
I was just very seldom do I get tongue-tied, right? Because, you know, it's a disease. But I was tongue-tied around Robert Wise. So for a lot of years, I was bartending and waiting tables, living in New York. And in one of the dinner houses I was waiting tables at, Robert Wise came in with his family, and I had to wait on him. And didn't get to chat with him much because, you know, it was this big family dinner for like the matriarch, and Mr. Wise looked very busy, kind of like, you know, overwhelmed. But I got to just mention, man, he's created one of the most legendary science fiction films of all time, as great as the motion picture is. This is the man who gave us The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah,
with Michael Rennie and Gort the Robot. And what's really awesome is we get to see his movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, in the pilot for Strange New Worlds when Pike is watching it in his cabin. So it's kind of like this circle coming full bore around again, bringing Robert Wise back into the Star Trek universe, but just seems like a really great guy. You know, amazing to be just standing in the same room with him, but what a career, dude, what a career, what a, and boy, did he bring life back to Star Trek in incredible ways that have never really stopped. So, wonderful.
Very cool story. Thanks for sharing that, Paul. So yeah, happy birthday to director Robert Wise. Thank you for all your contributions to the science fiction world that you inhabit. We are also saying happy birthday this week to Nick Ramos, who of course played the Afrosian from the USS Saratoga on in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Nick Ramos, one of a couple of Afrosians we get to see in Star Trek. Not the same one as the president, as I understand. So happy birthday to Nick Ramos, and thank you for that great portrayal of the character as well. We're saying happy birthday this week as well to actor Richard Webb, who played Lieutenant Commander Ben Finney in TOS's episode Court Martial. Happy birthday to Richard Webb. We're also saying happy birthday this week to Byron Morrow, who played Admiral Westervliet in TOS's episode For This World Is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky, and also played Admiral Comac in TOS's episode Amok Time. And if you're thinking to yourself, two different admirals, is there anybody else? I was unable to find anyone else. I'm pretty sure he's the only guy that's played two different admirals in Star Trek, which I think is pretty cool. Byron Morrow, you know, Illinois-born guy, did tons of television back in the day, from Twilight Zone to Mission Impossible, etc. Happy birthday to Byron Morrow.
But were they good admirals or evil admirals?
Well, you know, what's funny is I kind of knew you were going to ask me that, which is why I was talking really fast, because I didn't do my research on that front. But I tell you, for the next Admiral panel, I'll include these guys. What do you say?
That's
excellent. Well, happy birthday this week as well to Kim Hamilton, who played, of course, Chairman Sanji in TNG's episode Final Mission. If you don't remember who that is, Sanji was a Gamillion 5 native, and this was the one where the planet was being threatened by that waste barge that was orbiting, and it was threatening to drop some toxic stuff on there that would basically destroy all life on the planet. So thank you, Enterprise, once again, for saving a society. And Kim, you know, she got her first job back in the 50s in a war drama called Something of Value. So happy birthday to Kim. We're also saying happy birthday to John Crawford, who played High Commissioner Ferris in TOS's episode The Galileo 7, an episode that I know we all know and like. This man made over 200 television appearances, many of them in the same shows as Byron Morrow, who we talked about just a couple seconds ago. But what's interesting is this is a new segment I want to start that says Crawford says what? Because Crawford later, 30 years after TOS, revealed that his experience was, quote, like this. William Shatner, the star of the series, was having an ego problem, and every time I walked on the set, I could just see it. I was not allowed to move around the set during the entire scene. He kept saying, no, 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 no. This is the bridge of the ship, and we can't be moving around. Well, that's a lot of bullshit. He always worried about people that were taller than him. He didn't want you to tower over him. Well, I needed this like a hole in my head. I had a personal tragedy. My baby had recently just passed. This was in 1966, and then I had trouble with Shatner. What an experience. Oh, my gosh. But John Crawford playing that great role for us apparently had a hard time of it. So happy birthday. Thanks for the hard work that you put into that, John.
Man.
We are also saying happy birthday this week to actor Harv Presnell, who is one of a few Qs we get to see. This one in particular is Colonel Q from the Voyager episode The Q and the Gray, a very cool episode, in my opinion. I dig it. His on-screen acting career was really brief. Basically was in a few TV appearances. And then he was in Hair in the 60s in San Francisco. And then that like led to a big life change. He said, I played a hippie and I decided I wanted to be a hippie instead of playing one. I was going to get a Volkswagen bus and a big bag of brown rice and go find God. And that's what I did. And this guy went and he did that and then eventually earned his PhD and became the chair of the Theater of Film Studies at the dance department at St. Cloud State University. So there you go. You can go sow your wild oats, find your way to a great job. Bruce Hyde, well done. Well done. He, of course, played Kevin O'Reilly in TOS's The Naked Time and Conscience of the King. Only two episodes, but somehow memorable from those. So,
he seems like he should have been a recurring character forever, man. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Kevin Riley, the song?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, he had the chops for it.
He's
and
so great.
Sure
why did they not stick with that guy?
Yeah, he wasn't anymore. Yeah, I'm not sure. Who knows? Would have had a birthday this week. Also would have had a birthday this week is actor Gene Donarski. We saw Gene as Ben Childress in TOS's episode Mud's Women. We also saw him in TOS as Krodak in The Mark of Gideon. And then in the later years, we would see him as Commander Quinteros in one of Jim's favorite episodes, TNG's episode 11001001.
Oh, is it just me, or does this guy look like Picard with a little beard?
He does kind of look like a weirdly alternate universe version of Picard, Commander Quinteros does, by the time he got to that age, for sure. Yeah.
The evil Picard.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene was, you know, he had those three roles, and you can look him up if you don't remember who Childress or Krodak were. I think we all probably remember at least Quinteros from that episode, Commander of Starbase 74, of course. But he actually made his debut in Steven Spielberg's 1971 debut thriller, Duel. And then one later went on and did a couple episodes of Seinfeld and a little bit of other television stuff. So happy birthday to Gene Donarski. We're also saying happy birthday this week to Henry Darrow, who played Kolopak, who was, of course, Chakotay's father in the Voyager episodes Tattoo and Basics Part 1. He also played the Vulcan Admiral Savar in TNG's episode Conspiracy. And first of all, that is a great episode. That's the one where Savar is kind of infected with a parasite that Picard ends up shooting out of him. With a phaser rifle, which I think is pretty cool.
I love it so
Vulcan,
much.
Vulcan, do not eat meat. Yet this guy was chowing down on grubs like they were going out of style.
That was a little interesting to me, for sure. If you go Vulcan lore-wise, seems a little off. But, you know, I mean, Spock's not the perfect Vulcan either. So, you know, maybe this man's just got a taste for worms. I don't know.
It could be. Or maybe it was just because he was infected by the slug thing, and the slug thing wanted...
It was controlling him.
Maybe,
yeah.
I don't
or
know.
Or rather, the thing that was controlling the slug thing was actually controlling him. But yeah.
Right.
Watch the episode if you need to catch up.
it's a great episode.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. You know, I remember him also in the role of Don Alejandro de la Vega in the 1990 series Zorro, which I don't know if you guys remember that version of Zorro, but that was the version of Zorro that also had J.G. Hertzler in it. So I thought that was kind of cool. There was a little crossover there. So happy birthday to Henry Darrow. And our very last birthday goes out to actor Roy Brocksmith, who played Zach Doran Sirna Kolrami in TNG's episode Peak Performance, another excellent episode, and also played the Bajoran Razka Karn in DS9's episode Indiscretion. So two fantastic roles. Thank you, Roy Brocksmith, for your Star Trek contributions as well. So that, folks, is all of the folks who have gone before us in our Star Trek lives who would have had a birthday this week who are on our list. So, Charles, let's kick it off with some folks who are still around.
All right. I have some few good ones and a bit of a quiz at the end of mine. Charles Dyer-Kopp played Morley in TNG's The Wolf and the Hole. Had many of roles, spent quite a bit of time in Policewoman, appeared in T.J. Hooker, Fantasy Island. Susan Gimney played Dr. Leah Brahm, the one holographic and real one in TNG's episode, Bobby Trapp, Galaxy's Child, and LDS's, as we'll talk about tonight, Mining of the Mind's Minds. She also appeared as Benteen in DS9's episode Homefront and Paradise Lost. You're about to say, Jim?
No, I was just adding Erica Bantine. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
She was the commander, the Excelsior that went to shoot down the Defiant.
Yep.
Susan had some interesting additions. She auditioned for Deanna Troi, Tasha Yar, Janeway, and was supposed to be the original Seven of Nine until they saw Jeri Ryan in costume. Looks like to me she kind of retired about 2015, yet showed up for Lower Decks. Harry Trenway played Narek in Picard, season one. Doesn't have many roles yet. He's still working on his career. Rosemary Morgan played Peary in Boys the Shoot. She is also daughter of Julie Cobb, also known as Yeoman Leslie Thompson in the TOS episode By Any Other Name. So mother and daughter both appeared in Star Trek. Clyde Kusatsu played Admiral Tiro Nakamura in TNG's three episodes, including Measure of a Man. You might remember him, but he also did a few episodes of MASH. We saw in Magnum PI. He's a voice actor and has about over 300 other roles he has done. Very extensive. You take a look at him and you are, oh, yes, I remember him. Paul F. Tompkins played Dr. Maglimo, Innocent Young, and Hyde in Lower Decks. And then Jim gave me a big one, and I'm going to see what you guys know. Just some actor by the name of Jeffrey Combs. I think you guys may know a little bit about him. So let's try going through. See if you can name what he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a list.
All right. Well, I'll start it off. I'll go to the DS9 years, which are his most popular years. And he played several characters. He played most famously Wayun, and who I also think was his favorite character that he liked to play.
Okay. Here's a question then for you. How many Wayuns did he play?
I believe, now I may be off on this, but I thought he played up to 9 Wayuns. Am I off on that?
It's actually 5 of them.
It's only 5.
So he did play Illusions of himself. He did play one of them as one of the Bajoran gods and such. But he did play Wayun 4. Wayun 5, Wayun 6, Wayun 7, and Wayun 8.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there were a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And
then, well, of course, from DS9 also, he played Brunt, the Ferengi.
Yep.
And then he also had a couple other roles on. He was the guy... Well, if I switch over to Enterprise, well, I should give other people a chance, but of course, most famously, he was Shran on Enterprise.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one's a great role of his. I know that he was just recently in Lower Decks, right? Because he played that computer Agamemnon or Agnes or something. Agamemnon. Agamemnon. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And he's Wayun on Deep Space Nine, right? He's Wayun.
Yeah, that was the first thing we talked
about. You got
about,
that, right?
That he played. That
and I think of this actor, Jeffrey Combs, and I go back pre-Star Trek, man. I go back to the 80s because he really made his chops as a fantastic horror
about
actor.
That in just a moment, Paul.
Oh, okay. I'm going out of sequence, not knowing what the sequence was.
Somebody
slapped me with a trout.
He's trying to get us to say what other roles he played in.
He also played Tyrann in DS9. Kevin Nowalski, Nowalski from Far Beyond the Stars.
Oh, from Far Beyond the Stars. Yeah, I remember.
He played Mirror Universe Brunt.
Yes, of course.
He played one of the Holosuite guests in What You Left Behind. He played Penk in Voyager. He also played Krem in Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love it.
Wow.
Addition to the roles of Commander... Audition for the role of Commander Riker in Star Trek Next Generation. Although he did not get the role, Jonathan Franks, who did get the role, remembered Combs when directing an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and cast him in a guest role in episode. The producer liked his performance so much, he was later cast in two different recurring roles in the show. It's also appeared in five movies written by H.P. Lovecraft.
Quite impressive.
Quite
what
impressive.
Were we saying, Paul, for his pre-Star Trek days?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. I know time is of the essence, so we can move on.
But he's had a good career. But he will so well be known for what he did with Star Trek.
And Star Trek fans want to see him show up on Strange New World, Dr. Philip Boyce, because there's a resemblance between the two. But I don't know how that would fit in when we already have a doctor and we know that McCoy shows up. So I don't think we're going to see that materialize, but there is a petition floating around out there on the internet to have Jeffrey Combs play Dr. Philip Boyce. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, Paul, after my list, who's on yours?
Okay. Just going to try to go straight forward and get them out of here, guys, because I know a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all on my list, happy birthday to actress Virginia Madsen. Played Kellen in the Voyager episode Unforgettable. Of course, Virginia Madsen has been in tons of great films, including Candyman, Prophecy, the great movie Sideways. She's the David Lynch Dune. I mean, she's been in all kinds of great films. Acts a lot. So it was just September 11th was just her birthday just this last weekend. So Virginia Madsen, keep on rocking, sister. Great stuff there. Terrific actress. Also, happy birthday to Anne Elizabeth Ramsey, who played Clancy in the Next Gen episodes Elementary, Dear Data, and The Emissary. It's always great to acknowledge these actors who sort of got to be briefly recurring characters when they show up as the same character in more than a couple of different instances in one arm of the franchise. Happy birthday to Harry Groner, who played Tam Elbrun in the Next Gen episode Tin Man, as well as Magistrate Nakani in the Voyager episode Sacred Ground. And, but wait, there's more, Nathan Samuels in the Enterprise episodes Demons and Terra Prime. Happy birthday all goes out to Art Chudabala, who played Hector Ilario in the Deep Space Nine episode Field of Fire. Happy birthday to Judy Geeson, awesome actress, who played Sandrine in the Voyager episodes The Cloud and Twisted. And earlier, Eric was referencing a birthday of one of the miners, Ben Childress from Mudd's Women. Here's another Mudd's Women birthday, just to close the circle here. Happy birthday to actor John Kowal, who played fellow miner Herm Gossett, who was visited by Harry Mudd and his stable of wiving settlers, as I believe you refer to it. So happy birthday, John Kowal. And the great Tyler Perry, infamous, hardworking, ubiquitous. Tyler Perry played Admiral Richard Barnett in Starfleet Academy Commandant in Star Trek 2009, the J.J. Abrams film. So Tyler Perry gets around. He's in all kinds of different places. I believe he happens to be a pretty big Star Trek fan, from what I understand, too. And then we've got Mary Crosby, who played Natima Lang in Deep Space Nine episode Profit and Loss. I believe she's also infamous in television history for being the one who actually shot J.R., you old Dallas fans, whoever you may be.
Spoiler alert.
In your rockers there, yeah. Spoiler alert? Yeah, you know, I have to figure out about 40 years. I think the shelf life on spoilers is okay. You know, Rosebud's a sled, by the way, in case anyone's not clear. Just, you know, just since we're doing everything, right? Since we're just taking our pants off in the middle of the show, why not? And finally, a fabulous absolutely wonderful happy birthday to one of the great new members of the Star Trek family. I am delighted to wish a happy birthday to this actor, Blue Del Barrio, who plays Adira Tal on Star Trek Discovery. Not an easy thing to take a role like this in these controversial times and make it your own and bring along an entire couple of generations of enthusiastic fans who get it and love your work and are looking forward to your next appearances. Sounds like you spent a lot of time with old Tilly on Margaritaville there, from what I understand from the recent behind-the-scenes thing that we had, Blue. So it looks like you're having a good time on the set there. But hopefully there was at least one margarita raised in your honor. Happy birthday to you. I hope you have a long and rich period of residence in the Star Trek universe. Let me pass the flaming birthday candle to our good friend Jim.
Well, I think it's burning right down. It's burning my fingertips now. We had a lot of birthdays, but we're just about done. I don't have nearly as many as everybody else, but I've got some good ones. We want to say happy birthday to Julia Nixon, who played Leon Sue in TNG's episode Arsenal of Freedom and Cassandra in DS9's Paradise Lost. Happy birthday, Julia. We want to say happy birthday to Laura Stepp, who played Aaron Hansen in Voy's episode Dark Frontier. And the last one on my list, well, for this section, of course, we want to say happy birthday to Tom Hardy, who played Sin John in Star Trek Nemesis. So happy birthday to Tom Hardy. You might know him as as playing, is it a Marvel? Well, no, it was Marvel, but I think it's Sony, right? Venom? I don't think it's a Marvel movie. It's a Sony movie, but it's a Marvel character. Anyways, he plays Venom, so you can check him out in Venom. And the last one on my list before we move into Klingons, because I always do the Klingons last, but I had to get this guy in first because he's a legend. And he's mostly a legend in Russia. And we've had him on the podcast. He's on quite frequently when Captain Kirk lets him out of the engine room. He's always back for shoveling coal to the warp core to keep it going. He's a great guy. But we want to say happy birthday to the one, the only, Walter Koenig, who, of course, plays Admiral Pavel Andreevich Chekhov from Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. You guys remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Kirk asked, what's your name and rank?
Admiral. I love the way he says that.
So happy birthday to Walter Koenig. And now we get to some Klingons, and I've got some really, really good ones here. The first one, what you want to say, kapla, to Charles Esten, who played Devok in the TNG episode Rightful Heir, and he also played Dathan Alaris in Boys episode Remember. And this is a great one as well. We want to say kapla to Mary Kay Adams, who played Lady Grilka in DS9's episode The House of Quark and Looking for Parmok in All the Wrong Places. Guys, I cannot recommend those episodes enough. They are just absolutely spectacular. Watching Quark try to wield a batleth, what more
hilarious
could you ask? It's
hilarious.
Just hilarious.
And can I just say, Jim, because we like to go into Star Trek Tackwing lore, Grilka has an awesome card. She's 1 point, and you don't have to pay faction penalties to put her on a Ferengi ship. And she says, opposing effects that cost one or more gold-pressed latinum tokens cost +1. So basically, if somebody tries to spend gold-pressed latinum to do stuff against you, she makes it more expensive, which I think is hilarious.
Well, that would make sense, because Quark was cheaper. Those are great episodes. Check them out. And the last one I have on my list is the biggest Klingon. Well, I think Worf is, but the biggest Klingon I have on my list. And, of course, we want to say happy birthday to Roxanne Biggs Doss, who goes by Roxanne Doss these days, who played the half-Klingon, half-human engineer B'Elanna Torres on Star Trek. You know what, guys? That wraps up our birthdays. Can you believe it? That was a lot of birthdays. But we got through it. and it was a lot of fun. I hope that you guys had fun listening, and I hope that maybe you go back and revisit some of these old episodes after we brought them up and talked about them. It's almost time for convention calendar, but we do have a caller on the line that I want to get to. So let's talk to a caller, if my finicky little board here will work. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk, and what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? It's Ray. What's up, fellas? It's Ray.
Hey,
what's
Ray,
up?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I heard a birthday list, but I got something for you guys. Okay, I did my research, too. Today is 10:15, right? Now let's go back to the old series for a minute. There's two episodes anniversary of 55 years. The first one is Charlie X, came out in 1956. You guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the number was the same date. The next season was Mark time, the same the year after. And
no
way. I think Kirk guy is behind Kick.
Yep, absolutely.
Kirk guy is behind Kick. You guys behind Kick. You know what I'm saying? So I did my wishes on that one. I did my wishes on that one. So I just want to share that with you guys. That's all.
Well, thank you so much, Ray. Absolutely. I did not know that.
No, remember, though, cause like I said, okay, right now I'm doing Amazon, so I'm waiting for D-Space 9, you know, the box set, it's going to cost about $179 on Blu-ray, so I'm waiting for it to come in the mail now. It should be here in, like, the next 2 days.
Wow.
Well, you'll have to go through, make sure you watch Looking for Parmac in all the wrong places.
I know, like I say, I watch all the episodes of Channel 11 back in the day TV on 7 o'clock. I watch all of them on TV. I watch all of them. Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise. I watch all of them. Like that. Shoot, come on now. I'm gonna trick you forever. You know that goes back.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I tell everybody on the weekend, I say, yo, 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, I say, you guys going to call me? I was in my 20s. You guys want to call me? Yo, you guys got to call me after 8 o'clock or before 6. At 7 o'clock, the phone going off the hook. You know, like back in the day, the rotary phone, the push, you know, before cell phones, you know, everything, we had the rotary phone and the push button phones, and you have family, and your parents say, oh, it's not calling me. I say, Mom, I'm watching Deep Space Nine right now. You got to tell call back around 9 o'clock. Please, I don't want to be interrupted. It's like going to movies. Like, I don't want nobody talking to me. Let me watch the movie.
Yep, and that was before we had, you know, we didn't have them at that point either.
But times have changed, you know what I'm saying? Technology changed and everything else. So, you know, what do we do? It's bad enough. It's bad enough. It's like some people still have push button phones. It's still bad enough. But you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, what can you do?
That's true. Very true.
Yeah,
well, thank
true.
You so much for calling, Ray. We appreciate. How's everything down
anytime.
In the Bronx?
Everything is getting warm, but like this morning was cold this morning, and it's warming up a little bit because fall's coming up. So the weather ain't that bad. But we have our cool days and our hot days. But it ain't that bad.
Good. Well, you try to stay warm, Ray.
I will. I'll catch you guys next Thursday. You guys take care
now. All
right.
Thanks for calling, buddy. Live long and prosper.
Take care, man.
You too. Live long and prosper, too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Kaplah.
All right, guys. Take it easy, Ray. We're going to take a quick commercial break. As we come back, we're going to have convention calendar.
Hi there. This is Eric from Trek Talking. Do you own a business, produce a product, or are planning an event that would appeal to Star Trek fans? Would you like to harness the power of this podcast to get your message out to the world? We here at Trek Talking are a show made by fans for fans, and we would love to help you share your love of Star Trek on the air, live every Monday and Thursday night at 7:30 Eastern. Contact us through Facebook Messenger at facebook.com/trektalkingandbeyond, or email us using the contact link on our website at podpage.com/trek-talking. We can't wait to hear from you. Engage.
Okay, guys, we're back. We just heard from our buddy Ray in the Bronx. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Let your fingers do the walking and call Trek Talking. All right, guys, it's time for...
All right, we've got a series of great conventions coming your way. We are checking out not just another con 2022, October 11th through the 13th at the University of Massachusetts Amherst Campus Center in beautiful Amherst, Massachusetts. Been there many, many times. Go check out not just another con. We're also going to be checking out the FACTS convention, FACTS, I do not know what that stands for, but it is an acronym, October 12th to the 13th at Citadel Park in beautiful Ghent, Belgium. And my final convention is Constellation, which I think is a very clever name for a convention. Constellation is October 18th through the 20th at the Holiday Inn Express in Huntsville, Alabama. Continuing on, we've got Astronomicon November 1st through the 3rd at Four Points by Sheraton in Rochester, New York. BotCon Europe, November 3rd at Woolsey Hall Windmill Lane in Cheshunk, UK. And last on my list, finally, is IACON, November 1st through the 3rd at the Moat House Northampton in Northampton, once again in the UK. Lots of supporters for Trek Talking in the UK, so go check out some of those conventions in Cheshunt or Northampton. Paul, what's on your list?
I can't believe you got to say such a cool English name, man. Woolsey Hall, Windmill Lane. I mean, come on. Does anything sound more English than that?
In Cheshunt.
And you, I'm envious of that. I'm envious of that, man. So sometimes you just draw an ace, my friend. Well, we got all kinds of other cons happening here in good old North America. First of all, let's this one sounds very alluring and very doable for someone on the panel. Carnage 2002, November 1st to 3rd, up at Ascutney Mountain Resort Gym in Brownsville,
yeah.
Vermont. Come on, tell me you're not tempted to go up there.
I might. I actually might.
Come on, November 1st to the 3rd, you put the snow tires on, bada-bing, you're there. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Carnage, it's got to be a horror movie con, right? Imagine all the horror movie actors who, like, had guest parts on Star Trek that are there just wishing that some podcast would invite them to come on as a guest, dude. Come on, think about it.
I'm telling you, you never know where I'm going to come up with my business card.
A lot of cool folks hang out in Vermont. That's all I know. And for the South, where it gets warm in the Woodlands, Texas, it's ChibiCon and AnimeCon, and that is at Montgomery College there in the Woodlands, and that is on November 9th. Finally for me, Hamilton, Ontario, up in fantastic, phenomenal Canada, it is Transformers Con 2022.
Yes.
Get your Autobots engaged on November 10th and go to Lawfield Arena there in Hamilton, Ontario.
Sounds awesome.
I will try to use my best Optimus Prime voice to ask Charles what you will get to report on in the correct order.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of them, but I'd love to go to the third one on my list. Let's start at the Great American Comic Book Sci-Fi Expo, November 15th to 17th, Bayside Expo Center, Boston, Massachusetts. RuneCon, November 16th to 17th, University of Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma. And then this one I would love to probably pop into, Chicago TARDIS, November 29th to December 1st, Sheraton, Northwest Chicago, Island Heights, Illinois. Man, with some of the stuff coming out with Doctor Who, man, that might be a pretty good convention.
I wonder what that's all about, TARDIS Con. You think that's just a clever name?
Jim. You know better. You know better.
I'm pretty sure
of
the Whovian
convention. Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up our convention calendar, and it's time for Star.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code. Command codes verified. Define parameters of program. Level 9 authorization required. Specify parameters. Transfer of data is complete.
Okay, guys, before we start our Star Trek news, I got to give you a little warning that all of the stories that we're about to talk about can be found in their entirety on our Facebook page rather than the condensed, abridged version that I put together to be read on the Star Trek news section. All right, Eric, get us started.
Yeah, Jim. Unfortunately, we have lost a great one at 104 years old. Marsha Hunt, actress turned activist. Has died this week. Marsha Hunt, a veteran actress of the golden age of film, radio, and Broadway, who later saw her career wither over her protest against the infamous House Un-American Activities Committee, the HUAC, died of natural causes. Hunt starred in more than 60 films for Paramount, MGM, and Republic, starting her career in 1935. She also appeared in more than 30 stage productions, including 6 on Broadway. But her name appeared in Red Channels, an anti-communist pamphlet that was said to wield considerable influence over TV and film studios. While Hunt was never jailed or charged with any crime, work became harder to find. The Washington Post reports that Hunt twice signed anti-communist loyalty oaths to procure jobs in film and TV, but that she drew the line at taking out an advertisement in trade papers. Hunt worked periodically after the Blacklist era, including a role as the mother of a disfigured war veteran in 1971's Johnny Got His Gun. She threw her energies into activism after that, serving community, civil, and national organizations dedicated to humanitarian causes. She played Ann Jameson in the Star Trek The Next Generation first season episode, Short a Season. Hunt is survived by nieces and nephews. Donations in her memory may be made to LA Family Housing, LAFH.org. And Marsha Hunt was really, like, once she turned activist, she was relentless. And it's funny how something like a blacklist, which is meant to tamp people down, right, can often ignite them and really get the fire burning. And I think that's what happened with Marsha Hunt here. So lost this week at 104 years old, man, a long and it sounds like very, very meaningful life. So let's pass the baton, the news baton, on to Paul.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. This is a big one. I think a lot of folks are going to be raising eyebrows and be quite excited about this because Star Trek Strange New Worlds has added Carol Kane to the cast as a new engineer. Have fun storming the starbase. Academy Award nominee Carol Kane, we could all remember from The Princess Bride, from the television series Taxi, and The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She will be on Strange New Worlds this season playing a character named Pelia, or Pelia. We don't know yet. P-E-L-I-A, Pelia. An engineer, presumably a chief engineer, who is described as highly educated and intelligent and someone who suffers no fools. Pelia solves problems calmly and brusquely thanks to her many years of experience. And there's a photo out there. If you're on the Trek Talk and Facebook page, you can find it very easily of her in her red uniform, presumably standing in engineering. Very exciting. Carol Kane is often thought of as, you know, primarily a comedian, right? But she's a comic actress. But she's done a lot of other good dramatic work as well. So don't pigeonhole her. Put her in a box. My guess is that they cast her in this role because she's able to do a lot of different things and do them unexpectedly. So I'm super excited to see where they go. I think a lot of folks said, oh, of course, the next evolution will be that they put Scotty in there. But I don't think they're in that necessarily as much of a hurry as it may seem. So pretty exciting casting news. No footage yet that I'm aware of. of her, but I'm sure we'll be seeing one of those nicely filmed character introduction bits. My guess is sometime before the end of the year. So keep your eyes peeled and welcome Carol Kane to the Star Trek universe. Your life will never be the same. Jim, what do you got?
I think from what I read, she sounds an awful lot like another engineer that we all know and love in the name of Jack Rickell from Discovery. To me, because she's a non-acting engineer. And to the point and I just think that some people...
We're losing you, dude. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Yeah, we can't hear what you're saying exactly.
Yeah, I think you've passed beyond the far side of the moon, Jim. I don't think we're able to hear you.
Great barrier.
Is my volume?
There we go.
Oh, that's so much
better.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
My volume? Am I saying here? There. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Yeah. I think the popularity of Jet Reno might have helped to bring that character to Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, it's possible. And I mean, Carol Kane, it's such an interesting choice because, of course, she's got acting chops like flowing out of every single pore in her body. And so how to make a character like that not the star of your show all of a sudden will be kind of interesting to see how they use her. And we didn't get much information about her rank or anything, but she does have an interesting pin on her chest just above her communicator, which I don't know the origin of. So there could be something kind of cool character-wise to reveal there.
Yeah, I tried to zoom in and expand it so I could read it, but the bigger it got, the blurrier it got. So I really don't know what it says. I have no information. I couldn't get it. But at any rate, welcome to the Star Trek family. And speaking of Jet Reno and Discovery, Star Trek Discovery Season 5 set tour confirming return of Mary Wiseman as Tilly. We all knew this was coming, right? This isn't a surprise. With the cast busy shooting Season 5, there was no panel on Star Trek Discovery for Star Trek Day. However, Paramount Plus showed off a behind-the-scenes set tour guided by Wilson Cruz, Dr. Colbert. If you guys have not seen the video, look it up on YouTube. It's really, really good.
It's really entertaining. I agree. It's outstanding. Really great. Cruz is awesome. He does a great job, and it's super fun.
It's good. It's good. And we get to see Margaritaville as well. the video offered the first impressions of Season 5, including a visit with Mary Wiseman, who is returning as Tilly. In addition to some casual chatting with Wiseman outside the set, she could be seen back in uniform on the bridge of the USS Discovery. Here is the latest official synopsis of Star Trek Discovery Season 5. In Season 5, Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery uncover a mystery that sent them on an epic adventure across the galaxy to find ancient power whose very existence has been deliberately hidden for centuries. But there are others on the hunt as well. Dangerous foes who are desperate to claim the prize for themselves and will stop at nothing to get it. There was no announced date for the release of Discovery Season 5. Currently streams on Paramount Plus, the U.S. International. The series is available on Paramount Plus in Australia, Latin America, the UK, South Korea, as well as Pluto TV in Australia, France, Germany, Spain, and Switzerland. Pluto TV, Sci-Fi Channel, will also stream exclusively on Paramount Plus in Italy, France, Germany, Switzerland, and Australia later this year. Canada airs on Bell Media CT Sci-Fi Channel and streams on Crave. Okay, David, what do you got for us?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Great.
David, so welcome. This is the first we've heard from you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, David.
Welcome,
band that I'm at here in the latter half of the year here. Let's be, you know, wonderful. Mm-hmm. David, it's great to hear you, man. Glad you're doing well. Good to hear you.
It's good to hear you, too. All right, so I've got a second here to...
I think we cursed David.
Oh. I think couldn't happen to David's connection.
We can't hear David
anymore.
Oh, now we go.
Hello? Now we go.
There we go.
Okay, let me start over.
Yeah.
So I have a segment here that says Star Trek Picard Season 3 teaser revealed USS Titan, TNG characters, and more. The big news for the new teaser was a first look at the new starship, the USS Titan. Here is the latest official synopsis for Season 3. All right. Star Trek Picard series with Patrick Stewart reprising his iconic role as Jean-Luc Picard, which he played for 7 seasons on Star Trek The Next Generation, and followed this iconic character into the next chapter excuse me, of his life. LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Jonathan Frakes, Gates McFadden, Marina Sirtis, Brent Spiner, Jerry Ryan, and Michelle Hurd star along Patrick Stewart in the third and final season of the hit Paramount Plus original series. Also announced was the season 3 will debut on Thursday, February 16, 2023, exclusively on Paramount Plus. In the U.S., following its premiere, new episodes of the 10-episode-long final season will be available to stream weekly on Thursdays. And I have to say, since it's coming out on Thursdays, I know we're going to have to review it the next Thursday, but we've got to say something a little about it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I that's a – that synopsis doesn't really say much, does it?
No.
It's like the most nothing synopsis I've ever read of anything. It doesn't really tell us much. But yeah. The important thing is Thursday, February 16th. That's the important part to get out of it.
Yep. All right. Well, Charles, what do you have for us?
Okay. Bill Campbell returns as O'Connor in Star Trek Prodigy. For some, the most exciting takeaway of the Prodigy panel was the announcement that Lovable O'Connor will be back, voiced by the original actor, Billy Campbell, who portrayed the favorite in the TNG episode, The Outrage O'Connor. Campbell, who was a finalist for the role of Riker, played the outrageous Stadium O'Connor, a roguish space captain who was outrunning trouble caused by his own shenanigans. When he runs into the young, impressionable Protostar crew, he'll soon discover that they're in more hot water than he is. He will spend some time with them, as he is confirmed as a recurring role in the show. Exclusive producer Kevin and Dan Hageman say they've been planning this one for a while. From early on the writer's room, we knew we wanted Captain Stadium O'Connor to return and become a questionable guide for our impressionable crew. It was so much fun to not only explore where O'Connor's outrageous life has taken him in the later years, but also the work with Billy Campbell, who's effortlessly fell back on the role of O'Connor like he had never left. The second half of Star Trek Prodigy returns to Paramount Plus on Thursday, October 27th, described as the U.S., Latin America, Australia, South Korea, and the U.K. It will air later in the year in South Korea, Germany, Italy, France, Austria, and Switzerland. I don't know. Did they use David in the Lower Decks episode? Since his character was there?
I can't remember.
Yeah, his character was there, but I don't know if Billy Campbell voiced him, but the character definitely was there.
Yeah, for sure.
The character was there. I wonder if... So, David, back to you.
All right, so my next segment is Nicholas Meyers, Star Trek Con, SETI Episode 5, launching a scripted podcast. Nick Meyers made a surprise appearance at the Star Trek Day 2022 to announce a new audio drama podcast for Star Trek Con, SETI Alpha 5. Meyers had previously hinted this was in works back in June of this year.
The scripted podcast will examine what happened in the years after Captain Kirk left Khan on the untamed world of SETI Alpha 5 and tells the story of Khan and his followers prior to the events of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Nick made a definitive Trek movie when he made Wrath, and we've all been standing in its shadow since. Said Alex Kurtzman. 40 years have offered him a lot of perspective on these extraordinary characters and the way they're impacted generations of fans. Now he's come up with something as surprising, griping, and emotional as the original, and it's a real honor to be able to let him tell the next chapter in the story exactly the way he wants to. This original story hails from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan writer and director Nicholas Meyers, Alec Kurtzman, Aaron Bears, Trevor Roth, and Rod Roddenberry will serve as executive producers on this project as well. No release date has been set for SETI Alpha 5. Whoa. What do you guys think?
Cool. Sounds awesome. I'm in. Totally in, 100%. Yeah, audio dramas.
Cool.
I think audio dramas are people get it with books now, with audiobooks now, but audio dramas are kind of a lost art in some ways, and there aren't that many, like, there are some podcasts that now come out as serial things, so they kind of have that audio drama flavor to them, but yeah, I love that format.
You know, cool. All I got to say is one thing.
I shall leave you as you left. You left her, marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Khan! Khan!
See, I was trying to get it in, but that lady interrupted us, so there, I got it in.
I'm going to pass the hot quibble to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a cool article about Chris Pine, who has talked about Star Trek IV. He says he thinks it would be so cool to play Kirk throughout his career. It's once again time to check on one of the actors expected to return for the next Star Trek feature film, this time Star Trek's Chris Pine, who is still waiting for a script but is ready to keep playing Captain Kirk. He says, quote, "I think reporters think that we know more than we're saying. And when I say that, I honestly, well, none of us know anything. I haven't seen a script. All I heard was that they said we're making a film. I'm so stoked for that idea, and possibly as we all are, but it's so premature to say anything because there's no date, no nothing. But I'm pretty positive we'd all come back. I don't see why not." Chris Pine was 28 when he was first cast to play Captain James T. Kirk in the 2009 Star Trek movie, which was his first major role. Now 42, he is considered one of the Hollywood Chrises. He last played Kirk in 2016's Star Trek Beyond. The actor talked more about the idea of getting to return to the role throughout his career. Quote, "It's super cool. I love the idea. It's very rare to get a chance to play one character over the entire, essentially, course of your career. If I had the chance to do that, I think it would be so cool. So, so cool. So hopefully we get to do it." For now, Pine will have to wait as Paramount looks for a new director to helm the project, which is still on their calendar for release on December 22nd, 2023. And I think I'd like me some more Chris Pine, Kirk. I think that'd be cool. I'd be down with it. Show how he's grown throughout his career and such. So great idea. Charles, let's keep it rolling with some Lower Decks news.
Well, actually, I was going to make a comment. I don't know the full story on it, but one of my tricky friends posted in the text that Paramount might be looking for some minor actors for Star Trek IV. They're looking for some background people, so... maybe there's news that they're going to try getting going. This one,
you know what would be,
this one, I think.
You know what would be really cool? If there was a Trek Talking booth in the background at Starfleet headquarters. That would be cool.
At just a job fair day or something. Yeah.
And there's a Klingon wave you can bat lift around and everybody wants to come over and handle it. That would be cool.
Love it.
And you know what? I would do it for free. I would do it. I would pay them to do it. How's that?
That's pretty much like any extra there, Jim. I think that's... You get paid in glory points, I guess.
Well,
this
next story actually caught me this week. Star Trek Lower Decks comic miniseries debuts. Star Trek Lower Decks is almost halfway through its third season on Paramount Plus. And this week it also jumps to another median with the debut of IDW Star Trek Lower Decks comics miniseries. Three-issue series is written by Ryan North with art from Chris Benglio. Star Trek, Lower Decks number one synopsis. The hit Paramount animated series makes its comic debut with Eisner-winning comic writer Ryan North, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, at the helm. Soon after leading her crew on a planetary expedition aimed at building bridges and advanced Federation technology, Captain Freeman begins to suspect that the planet is and its people are not what they seem. Meanwhile, the crew of Lower Decks takes to the holodeck, enjoying some much-needed recreational time, until a bloodthirsty visitor decides to join him in the game. Star Trek Lower Decks came this past Tuesday the 14th, and you can order individual copies of TFAW or pick individual digital editions at Amazon Comicology. I've already read issue one. I'm already waiting for issue two. Jim will agree with this. This just kicks in like an episode. We actually get an opening teaser. Then we get the main episode.
You
and
know,
they put a cliffhanger. They put a cliffhanger at the end of this issue that you're like, oh, no, I want to know what happened. I got to wait for issue
two. I can't wait to talk about this, Charles, on Comic Corner, because this comic book was outstanding. Like you said, because it's an animated series, it just leads itself into comic book form so perfect, and yeah, I can't wait to talk about on comic
and
what you got.
And you guys, I can't wait to talk about it because well, Paul already knows this, but Ryan North is literally one of my favorite comic book writers of all time. The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is my favorite superhero. He wrote all 50 issues of the most recent run of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, which I think stopped in like 2016 or 2018, something like that. Fantastic writer. I have not had a chance yet to read this issue. I'm picking it up tomorrow. But I'm just super excited about it because he is a fantastic writer.
I don't know how this issue is going to be when you read it in paper, but I will make the one comment. Watch out for the subtext.
Yeah,
that's his trademark. Oh. So every page has like a little thing down at the bottom. So I love that.
Yeah, did a lot of that.
That was as good as the story, I felt. It was just phenomenal. So we're
going to
talk about that. We might talk about this issue on Monday's Comic Corner. We're going to talk about Star Trek Picard, Stargazer, Issue 1. And depending on you guys think we can squeeze both these issues in?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, these two are small stories, so yeah.
All right, so there you have. We'll talk about Star Trek Picard, Stargazer Issue 1, and Lower Decks Issue 1, both on Monday's podcast. So if you want to hear our full thoughts on that, you'll have to tune in on Monday for Comic Corner, 7:30 p.m. All right, it's time for our Lower Decks. But first, we have to play. I got to set you guys up, get you in the mood, bring you into Lower Decks. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. If you'd like to call and share your opinions on Lower Decks, please let your fingers do the walking. Call Trek Talk. So here we go. Here's our clip from Lower Decks. Set the
Captain's log. Stardate 58256.2. Zangus 4 is a remote planet which was believed to be uninhabited until indigenous silicate creatures called the Scrubble started turning Federation scientists into statues. Captain Murakami of the USS Hood answered the distress call and brokered tentative peace. With the conflict resolved, the Cerritos and the Carlsbad are coordinating to relocate the outpost.
All right, so Eric, what did our Facebook fans have to say about this week's or last week's episode of Lower Decks?
Well, Mining the Mines got a 9 from Richard Chang. Another great episode and nice plot twist I didn't see coming. Yeah, me neither, Rich. That was cool. Doug Alexander gave it a 9.5, a great episode, especially loved seeing Mariner get embarrassed. I didn't think that was possible. Me too, Doug. Steve Mitchell gave it a solid 10. Dorothy Ann Ferguson gave it a 10, as this was a stellar episode. Cassandra Diston said an 8 for me. The overlong here, you take it, gag fell flat, and it wasn't very Trek. And also a long, annoyed, no real Jennifer this season. Like they tried so hard not to focus on her that they left her out, at least the real one. So I think Cassandra wanted a little bit more Jennifer. Gave it an 8. Nick Dingman said a solid 8 for me. Good episode, but compared to the absolute bangers that most of Lower Decks is, it's not quite up there. Brian Kane said at least an 8, maybe a 9. Aaliyah Brahms' callback was awesome. And I guess Mariner and Jennifer are a couple now. Brian might have missed that at the end of last season. Dr. Migley Moo doesn't do much for me, though. Brian, thanks very much. Gave it an 8, maybe a 9. Wes Huntington gave it a 10. Easily the funniest episode of the season so far. Stephen Whalen said 10 all day long. And Sean Jr., who we've heard from before, gave it a solid 8. Live long and prosper. And that gives this episode a fan score of 9.2, which is that's very respectable, you guys. 9.2 is right up there. We've got a 9.3 from Grounded and an 8.25 from the fans, but the host gave it last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, at this point, a 9.9. And this one, everybody gave a 9.2. Well, we'll find out what we thought, but our fans gave it a 9.2, so pretty good score.
You know what, Eric? I think that I need to repost, in my opinion, that episode was the best I've seen. And I think, like we talked about, because that happened to fall on a holiday weekend, and I put it up on Friday, and most people were away for that long weekend, I think a lot of fans missed that post and just didn't respond.
Sample size was too small. Yep.
It was just too small. We only had 5 people that responded, and that's just unheard of. I think that if we reposted that again, I think the score would be higher than 8.3.
Completely agree with you. Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Now it's time for our cadet training. Okay, take it away, Charles.
All right. Thanks, Jim, for helping me out with this one a bit. Let's start off with the animated series, How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth. I believe that's where one of the creatures came from. TNG's Booby Trap, where we get to see the hologram, Dr. Brahms. TNG's Galaxy Child, where we actually get to meet the real Dr. Brahms. Where No Man Has Gone Before, our dream episode. And TNG's Coming of Age, where Wesley gets tested. And this time, we have another character who gets tested. So, Jim, I bet you have some clips for us.
Yes, absolutely. So we're gonna talk about the episode, and we're going to give our own scores. But as usual, I have some highlights that I pulled off the episode. That I'll play, and we'll discuss. So the first one I have is called You're So Cool.
You're trapped in a cave, and your commander is armless. I fear we will be penalized for this.
No, I will. I made us rush.
Why? We had all day.
You guys were going so fast. We were trying to speed up to beat you.
It's clear the Cerritos has a bad reputation. We didn't want to live up to it.
Wow. I'm
speechless.
Come on, don't pile on. Look, the Cerritos is actually a really great place to serve.
No. I mean, we were the ones who were rushing.
What?
You guys are so cool, and we were just trying to impress you.
Wait, you think we're cool?
Yes. The tales of your exploits are widely shared. The Cerritos is, in fact, the coolest.
So what I liked about this particular clip was I remember when we first introduced Paul to Lower Decks, and he didn't quite get it. And I said to Paul, well, I like Lower Decks because I feel like the characters on Lower Decks would be us if we were characters on Star Trek, and we would be playing D&D, and we would be doing all these things and, you know, having Tom Paris plates and stuff. And to me, the Lower Decks people are all of us if we were on Star Trek. But to see this other crew looking at the crew of the Cerritos as if the crew of the Cerritos was on Star Trek and they were the fans looking at them, I thought that was a really cool twist on my take of the show. And I thought it was cool to actually see another crew say to another crew, you guys are so cool, and we emulate you guys. And I thought that was just cool, hence the name. What did you guys think? Did you like that analogy, that clip?
What'd yeah, I mean, I'll say that the other thing that I think that Lower Decks does really well is it's not just the reference zingers and that kind of stuff, but it does this, it has some of the same formats as a lot of the Trek that we know and love. So, for example, in this one, they set up that alternate crew at the beginning of the episode, and they make us not like them by the information that they share with us about the crew. And so we all have kind of a set of assumptions about that crew. And then later in the episode, they break those assumptions, right? And they say, hey, you know, everything that you thought you knew about these people, it's actually all wrong. And aren't you a fool for having made, you know, assumptions without actually giving these people a fair chance? So once again, the lesson in life is always give people a fair chance, and Lower Decks is carrying that Star Trek flame high as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Anybody else want to add anything? Okay.
I think it was a great perspective on the ship. Because you kind of think, oh, we're just a California class and we're just not that big in the field, and yet you're the ship we look up to. We want to be the Cerritos because they get to do something. Most of the California class ships don't get to do much, and yet this one gets to do a lot. They fought the Packwoods.
Zany, all kinds of zany adventures.
Yeah.
And I also don't know if you guys caught this or not, but at the beginning of the episode, we get to see an Excelsior-class starship, the USS Hood, for the first time in a very long time. And the USS Hood, if you didn't know this, was the ship that Riker came from in Encounter at Farpoint. It's also the ship that delivered Pulaski to the Enterprise and the Child.
Yep. Yep.
And it's also been seen ferrying various other diplomats around to Deep Space Nine. And the fact that we see it here ferrying people around again, it's just, they're just upholding the Star Trek, I don't know, theory. It's nothing more than a courier ship, because every time we see it, that's what it's...
except it did fight in the Dominion War. It was in a lot of those Dominion War battles, but generally speaking, it was pretty much stuck on courier duty.
Yeah, it just kind of brings people around. Okay, so it was just cool to see it again, actually. Mm-hmm. So the next one that I want to play for you guys is entitled Need Therapy.
Wow, good aim is hot.
I want to be explosive! I want us to grow old and boring and grow orchids together, babe! Settle down with me!
Mariner, you might want to go back to therapy.
Sarita, come in.
Of course, it's not a real day in Starfleet till comms get blocked.
So there was a couple
line.
Of.
I love that line.
I had to cut it at that line because it's true. You know, for this ultimate, this technology that's so far advanced and so awesome, how often do the comms not work?
Comms and transporters, you know, constantly not working.
Constantly not working. So that was funny. But the main thing was, you know, Mariner and Jennifer, and Jennifer turns into a werewolf. I don't know what to call her.
Well, it's holographic, like, Jennifer, but yeah.
Yeah. But an Andorian werewolf is the closest thing I could come to this. And she's yelling at Mariner, you know, I want to grow old together. I want to grow orchid together. And she's, and all these things, and Mariner's running away like, no, no, no. It's kind of like, you know, Mariner doesn't want the commitment. She doesn't want to grow old with somebody, to grow orchids together with somebody. And so it's part of Mariner's psyche, I think. It says a lot about her character. And, of course, Boimler points it out and says, you need therapy. And, you know, here we are. So, you know, what did you think about that, Charles? Did you get anything out of that scene?
It was an interesting one where we started to realize something really was going on, where we start seeing, okay, a basketball showed up. And it's like, wait a minute, somebody mentioned basketball recently, and they started really going, wait a minute, why are we getting all these thoughts? And starting to realize, oh, wait a minute, these are our personal thoughts, and they're coming true. It's just ideals, and they come true. So you realize something really is going on this episode. It's also fun to see the two teams really working together. They're like, okay, we got to band together and do this. And they make a good team in their Lower Decks.
Now, what about, okay, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to bite my tongue after I say it because I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm going to. I read a clip somewhere that said that Star Trek actually ripped off another show, which is a total ripoff, called The Orville, by having terror sounds on the show. I do not watch that other show, will not watch that other show, so I don't know if that's true or not, but I got to say, I thought that the Klingon clowns with batless arms was, what more terrifying can you think of than that? I'm thinking of Pennywise with batless arms coming at you. We also had a giant Borg snake running around. We had Jennifer as a werewolf Andorian. And we also had the giant dragon from the TAS episode that we mentioned earlier, the serpent's tooth. So there was a lot going on in that scene, but is it true? Were terror clowns on the other show?
I don't remember that now.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
No,
so.
I'm pretty much caught up, and I don't remember seeing them. So
yeah, I'm caught up too, and I actually don't remember seeing any clowns on that show at all.
Nope.
Okay,
no, that would be, like,
so shame on you for saying that, guy. It's not true. I did like Jim, the clown, the batless. I'm like, that was awesome.
Are we going to talk more about Jennifer in a second? Because I want to talk more about Jennifer.
We're gonna get to that. But I want to ask you guys, for the old guys out there, the opening scene, did anybody else think of the Lochnar heavy metal? Or was it just me?
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, so couldn't say.
Like if Sammy Hagar came down in a giant convertible, singing heavy, heavy metal, and the giant green glowing orb was there, and they picked it up, and it melted the guy, and then it went up between the girl's legs and turned her into this giant evil thing. That would have been the opening of heavy metal. They didn't quite go in that direction in this episode, but it kind of reminded me of that just a little bit. But
yeah, I've never seen that before.
I'm old. I'm long in the tooth. I have a lot of these useless old things. things floating around in my brain, and that's one of them.
Well, Jim,
all right,
if you want to talk about, if you want to talk briefly about intros, so one thing we haven't yet mentioned is how at the beginning of the of Lower Decks this season, they've now added the what I'll call the Rainbow Trek intro, which they started with Strange New Worlds. And in Strange New Worlds, it used the Enterprise to kind of fly across the screen, trailing a rainbow behind it and showing the Star Trek logo. But when they switched to Lower Decks, it's now the Cerritos in that. So they kept the same kind of graphic style, but they put the Cerritos in it, which I thought was cool. And it gives a cohesive intro to all Star Trek shows now. I'm wondering if they'll do the same thing for future Star Trek shows.
And and they also altered opening credits, the battle sequence at the beginning. They added in a Silicon entity. So every
entity, yeah.
They've altered that battle sequence just a little bit. And that's the alteration they made for season three. So you know what season you're watching by what is going on in that particular battle sequence beginning. All right, guys, here it is by popular demand. I've called this clip simply Jennifer.
Oh, hey, babe. I was about to go yell at Ransom, really tear him a new one for being so annoying. Want to come watch?
Nice try, babe, but I'll hold off for the real deal back on the ship.
Oh, okay. You and Jennifer are babing each other now?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have been.
Aw, it's nice to see you with a girlfriend instead of destroying everything in your past.
She's not my girlfriend. We're just hanging out. We're not into labels.
Oh, I'm into labels. I'm fine being your hot and Dorian girlfriend.
Is that your fantasy?
No, we're... No, go find Leah Brown. Shut up.
Ooh, somebody's blushing. Ooh, I think she is. I'm detecting an elevated heart rate.
Stop looking at my heart rate. Okay, we have to ignore these totally inaccurate fantasies at all costs.
Come and look at the war core with me and Leah.
All right. There you go, Eric. There's your intro.
Oh,
take it away.
My gosh, I love it. This is my absolute favorite scene in the whole show. Because, you know, we haven't really seen a lot of embarrassed Mariner, right? Mariner is our hero, and she's often shown as kind of like, you know, action-packed. And we've had just hints about, at the end of last season, about her and Jennifer maybe being interested in one another. Haven't seen a thing this season, so it was really fun to just bring that up as an embarrassing moment where her friends are just razzing her about it right there. I just thought it was super-duper cute. And to see them actually, like, draw the red cheeks on her, and she's so embarrassed, and she's got this, like, look on her face. So my favorite scene in this whole episode, personally.
Well, you know what I liked about it? What I thought was cool was very similar to when Adira told Burnham and Stamets that she didn't want to be called she, that she wanted to be called they. And Stamets just kind of, okay, and that's it. Well, when Boimler says, well, it's nice that you finally have a girlfriend, it was just kind of like, no big deal. It's like you got a girlfriend, and that's cool. And it was just like, it wasn't an issue at all. And I thought that was really neat.
Yep. Yeah, that's just the way the world is now, and I love the Star Trek representation. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. And I liked that they threw that in there, and it wasn't a big deal. You know, people weren't going crazy, and well, not yet anyways. So, and everybody likes Jennifer, you know.
Which is so funny because Mariner hated her at first, right? But probably hated her because she liked her.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love the character. And I love the scene at the very end where I cut it before it got there, where the Rutherford walks by. And Leia Brahm shows up and says something like, you want to help stroke the war? And then he says, oh, no, cribbage, and he runs away. And then Leia Brahm's, where does she go? She goes over to Jennifer. And she's kind of hugging Jennifer, and they say to Mariner, why don't you come and help me and Leia with the warp core? And it's like, let's get a threesome going on with you, me, and Jennifer. And I thought that was funny. But I cut the scene before it got there, but I thought that was funny. Jennifer is an interesting character, and they say that we're going to see more of her. So all we can do is wait and hope.
Yeah, I mean, now we know what Mariner's kind of inner worries are about Jennifer. We know that she kind of fears commitment and fears long-term relationships. And, you know, when she is confronted by her friends, she's like, no, it's nothing serious. It's just kind of a short-term thing, but, yet they've been together for a little bit. So it's, you know, she's trying to figure out, Mariner's trying to figure out how much to open her heart right now, which I think is kind of a fun character development for her.
Yeah, and I thought it, I almost lost it when Rutherford's like, I'm detecting an elevated heart rate. And she's like, stop reading my heart rate. It was perfect. It was just enough, I thought. So does anybody else want to add anything about Jennifer before we move on? Okay.
I just want to add that the part for me that stirred me the most throughout this entire episode was when the werewolf Jennifer came in and took the other Jennifer and ripped her in half. I thought that part kind of ruined it for me. From that point on, it was just like, oh, what did I just watch? It was kind of gruesome for me for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, I thought that this was what we were saying. There's two different Jennifers in there. There's the Jennifer that we see. Who's like, hey, babe, let's go and get it on with Leia and stroke the warp core and blah, 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 blah. And then there's the werewolf Jennifer who's like, I want commitment. I want to grow orchids. I want to grow mold together. I want this. I want that. There's the Jennifer that wants everything from her, which is the opposite of what the other Jennifer is. So the werewolf Jennifer ripped her in half and threw her away because we're not about them. We're about this. That's kind of what I got out of it. But
yeah,
again, that's just
the fears the Mariner has. The fears the Mariner has about Jennifer coming two forms. You know? So
right.
I totally agree.
The good Jennifer and the bad Jennifer. All right, guys. So we couldn't do this episode without talking about the one, the only, Leia Brown.
Hey, Samantha. You want to come over here and help me design some galaxy-class starship engine?
Leah Brown. No, man, no. Think about Parisi Squares. Think of Parisi Squares.
This is your fantasy?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Brahms was instrumental in advancing warp field theory.
I need a big brain engineer who can help me extrude some plasma and run some tests.
No, leave me alone.
So I think it's hilarious. Rutherford has the same fantasy that Geordi had. You know?
Yeah, I think that's how they can get away with this because it's holographic Brahms, you know, so it's like, it's the way that Geordi, it's kind of the, like the way that Geordi programmed the holodeck with Leia Brahms the first time around before he actually knew who she was. So, you know, they're taking some liberties with the character here, which are funny in this context. Some people could say, oh my God, they're, you know, sexualizing her too much or whatever. But I think in this context and the fact that she's a hologram, it's funny. I think it's funny.
And she's wearing, and just to put a cherry on top of that, she's wearing the same exact outfit that she wore in the episode Booby Trap.
And her hair's
so,
the same.
That's because Rutherford watched that episode.
Yeah.
He programmed her
the same way that Geordi did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's clearly meant to be that character from that holodeck because she's dressed exactly the same way, which I don't think is an accident.
And let's be clear, yeah, the reason that both Geordi and Rutherford fell in love with this woman, I think, is because of her brain, right? Because she is the person when it comes to warp field theory. And Geordi couldn't solve problems without eventually meeting, you know, the real Leah Brahms. So they both have the same kind of, like, mad respect for her brain that we don't see in this episode, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, Eric. I think... It's the way Geordi wrote the character originally.
Oh, right.
And
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it fits in that context.
Yep, totally.
Well, and the thing is, Lower Decks could have just brought a character back. But Lower Decks went beyond just bringing Leah Brahms back. They brought the actress back to be Leah Brahms. It's like, I love Lower Decks and the idea that, hey, we got this character. Well, let's go ahead and bring the original actor back to play him. We're just creating a new voice for this person. We're bringing back an original character. And I just love that idea, Lower Decks, that they will bring back people just to voice these actors, voice these characters.
You know what would be awesome,
and make them more real.
Yeah, and if they actually brought back the real character, wouldn't that be a cool, like, mirror to the fact that they brought the real character in TNG?
Yeah.
Because at this point, we're seeing, Leah Brahms. So in 2370, she becomes the director of the Zefram Cochrane Institute for Advanced Theoretical Physics. 12 years later, we're now seeing Lower Decks. So she will have had that job for a while. So she's basically woman at the top of her game right now. Wouldn't it be cool to bring her into an episode 10?
Yeah, it would be.
And
himself there for a second.
Yeah.
I'm saying the R2-D2 intro thing.
R2-D2 wants to talk about the episode.
There's a spy in our midst. he's everywhere. But yeah, I did like I said, I did think that they used her in the exact context that she should have been used in, based on Rutherford,
yeah,
on Geordi, and based on the holodecks. It was very sexualized, but I think that it was done in the right way.
Oh, don't forget.
Well,
it was
supposed
to
shut off the fantasy, so, I mean...
Right.
Yeah.
Technically.
Well, and I was just going to mention, so remember in All Good Things, in one of those alternate, like, realities, we see... it's the one where he goes, where Geordi's there and he meets Picard and that kind of stuff. He talks about his wife, Leah. And so the presumption is that eventually he married Leah Brahms. So that would be another cool thing, like, you know, that was obviously not this timeline or this future. That was the one where Picard's different, doing grapes in a different way.
Right. All right, guys, we got one more clip here, and I just wanted to give Ransom something to do. So I've entitled this one Scientists.
Once again, we're cleaning up a mess for a bunch of outpost scientists. You know why these guys are always getting eaten, disappearing, or getting eggs laid in their chest?
Because they're working on the frontier?
Because they're weirdos! You want to explore space? Join Starfleet. Go to the academy. But no! That's too much effort. They just gotta get their degrees in studying spores or whatever, then head off into the quadrant and get devoured by a plant!
Is this a mission briefing or a stand-up routine?
Oh, no, no. His stand-up's more a raw, unfiltered take on dating and mating. Anyway.
First of all, I thought it was funny that he specifically mentioned spores. Get their degrees in spores and go out and get eaten by a giant plant.
I mean, that's just so funny. Discovery references in Lower Decks. That is awesome.
Yeah, I liked it, and I just wanted to play it for you guys. All right, guys, so let's go around the room and get our scores for this episode. And Paul's been awful quiet, so let's start off with Paul. What do you think? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this one, Paul?
Oh, it's funny. It was all right. It didn't, you know, blow my, gaskets wide open. It was fun, though. I'm probably like a 7, 8 in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. I mean, they would have to be extremely hard-pressed to top, for me, last week's episode.
Exactly.
Really.
I thought that was just, I mean, this was funny. It's just, you know, it kind of felt a little bit more familiar in terms of the rhythm of the kind of comedy, right? Last week was a big breath of fresh air, so this seemed a bit more rote. But, and, you know, I just don't have any of the familiarity of the back seasons, right? To have, you know, like you guys with this Jennifer. I'm like, who the hell is Jennifer? Sorry,
yeah.
You know, I got nothing there. I'm like, you know, I'm still not as, familiar with this particular arm of the franchise, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. And you know what? Last week,
I picked up
like
the comic book, for crying out loud, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, the comic book was really good. I just think that last week was like the pinnacle. I mean, I've seen them all, and I think that was the episode. So, you know, my opinion. So how about you, David? 1 to 10, what did you think?
Well, before I go into the score, I actually wanted to mention, did you guys notice, so going way back to TAS, that episode, How Serpent and the Serpent Tooth, Have you guys noticed a difference between the way that Cook and Spock named the Klukulkan? They apparently said two separate words that sounded very similar. I don't know if you guys ever caught that. But
no,
I
didn't.
It would have been really funny if, apparently from what I hear, it was that during the time when they were filming that cartoon, that Kirk and Spock were in completely separate rooms, like they had no contact with each other whatsoever. So apparently one of the two mispronounced the actual word of Klukulkan, and I can't remember if it was Kirk or Spock, but apparently somebody mispronounced that particular word because nobody gave him, whoever it was, the actual pronunciation of that word. So I thought it would have been funny if it would have been like some sort of, you know, mix of like somebody mispronouncing the word to, I don't know, maybe get a little bit of a Easter egg out of there or something, but yeah.
You mean like
yeah,
they did
so
with the Gatos, Gumatus, and all that stuff
yeah,
in that episode?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. But if you go watch that episode again, I think it might have been Kirk who pronounced it wrong, but yeah, it was pretty funny. Anyway, so my overall score of this episode would probably have to be, I agree with you guys, it is as funny, and that whole scene was that gory part, I just couldn't stand. It was like, oh my goodness, what did I just watch? I'm going to have to bring this one down, probably down to a
8.3. Hey, well, that's still respectable. That's still
it was
not,
funny,
not
but it
too bad.
It wasn't the best.
I agree. All right, what do you think, Eric? The ball's in your court.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of along with what I'm hearing here. Good, you know, fun episode. Didn't blow my mind. Nothing compares to last week so far. So I'll give this one a 7.
All right, 7 it is. All right, that brings it all back around to you. What do you think, Charles? 1 to 10.
I think I'm up there still with David. I'm still going to give this one a good one, especially with Lydia Brahms in there. She was a good character, even though short run in TNG. I'm going to go with, I'll agree with David, 8.6.
8.6? Well, you know, I'm going to go with 7.8. And I thought the story was good, but I mostly because I like when they reference TAS, like they obviously at the beginning of the episode, like they did with Spock. Anytime they throw the animated series in there, you got me. So that's what I'm going to give it, because nothing's going to top last for me. That was just perfect. That was Lower Decks at perfection. Or anything from that is going to be down. So that's our scores, and what did our fans give it versus what did we give it, Charles?
Our fans.
9.2 from the
gave it 9.2. And with Paul's, I think she said 7, brings us to a 7.8.
All right, so the fans liked it a little bit better than we did. That's fine.
I don't
That's
know.
Cool.
I think I'd
That's
still
right.
like to be number one, number one.
That's cool. So that wraps up our show for this week, guys. As I said, you heard us talking a little bit earlier. We are going to be doing a Playmates show on Monday, on a Monday, tentatively the 26th. But until I can confirm that, we don't know. But tentatively, it'll be the 26th. It'll be our Toy Chest episode. Paul did the last one for us where we had the opportunity to open up some Playmates figures. Well, we're going to have somebody from the production of Playmates to talk to. So if you guys have ever wanted to know, if you've ever wanted to ask them, why did you make this figure? Why didn't you make that one? Whatever, it's your chance to call and ask that question and get an answer. So you definitely want to keep that in the back of your mind. But even more than that, I have some figures to give away to lucky callers. So I have a Data, I have a Riker, and I have a Picard right here in my hands that I want to give to you. But you have to call. Call 646-668-2433 on Monday and ask a question. And if you do that, you can have your pick of the three characters. Whoever calls first gets the first pick. Whoever calls second gets the next pick. And whoever calls first gets what's left. So I'm willing to give this to you guys absolutely free, but you got to call and ask a question. It's pretty simple. So give a call, get a figure. It's that simple. Monday, we're going to be talking about, on Comic Corner, we're going to be doing Star Trek Picard, Stargazer issue number one, and Lower Decks issue number one. So tune in on Monday for that. Thursday night, we'll be talking about the episode, which is on right now, on tonight. I don't know the title of it. Does anybody know the title? I haven't checked yet.
No.
No, I don't know it, but whatever episode is on right now, tonight, we're going to talk about that next Thursday. So you want to tune in for that. And head over to our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. Give us a like, give us a follow, and become a member of our family. We'd absolutely love to have you guys aboard. So I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim. And I want to say thank you to my awesome Trekspurts for hanging out with us tonight. So thank you so much to Paul for hanging out and Trek Talking with us tonight. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, dude. It was fun.
And thank you so much to David for hanging out and Trek Talking with us. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you. This was really fun.
And thank you so much to our very own Eric for Trek Talking with us. All three are the trifecta from Portland. So thank you, Eric.
I absolutely. Had a great time as always. Have a great night, guys.
And thank you so much to Charles from Vegas for hanging out and Trek Talking with us. Thank you so much, Charles.
Oh, thank you. Love Truck and Tech. And oh, by the way, I'm going to push. You guys have the two comics. I've got one you guys really want to read. Star Trek 400. And I'll tell Eric this. 400 reminds me of Waypoint. Remember that series?
Oh, yeah, that was a great series.
400 reminds me exactly of that, with four different stories, four different authors, three or four different artists, colorers, a batch of mixed stories, and they're good stories, including Will Wheaton's. Will Wheaton's
have
a good story.
I have it on my Kindle, and hopefully I'm going to be reading it this weekend while I'm hanging out at camp, trying to keep warm around my campfire. I plan on reading it. So
you're going to enjoy it, Jim.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I will. I'm looking forward to seeing what Will Wheaton brings to the table. So anyways, guys,
yeah.
I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, saying Star Trek fans are the best fans. You better believe that. And please, everybody, try to stay safe and be good to each other. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Stay out.
Live long and prosper.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.